I'm Debbie Dashinger. Welcome to Dare to Dream. Be inspired to live big and bold and take action to turn your dreams into your reality. Go beyond obstacles and limits of your thinking. Accelerate results to catapult yourself to success. I'm a visibility expert who gives media makeovers to clients, booking them on media interviews and turning their books into international bestsellers with guaranteed results. Join me at DebbieDashinger.com. Dare to do great things. Dare to shine. It's all about you becoming a visionary and leading the pack. Welcome to your daring new life.
Welcome to Dare to Dream, award-winning podcast. I've been doing this show for 13 amazing years, and how fortunate am I to have come across this. I was just talking to somebody in the music business today, and it's always really interesting for me to experience my roots when I share with somebody. Like, I'm always moved when somebody's in the music business because that was my life. For so long, I come from a lineage in my family, who's who in international music composers, Grammy winners, and so forth. And I was a singer, professional singer and actress for most of my life, but that hasn't been my reality for a long time. This has been my reality. So what I do is this show. What I do is master level conversations with people like I'm going to bring on today. And what I do is I offer to you how to write your book, how to get your book taken to a guaranteed international bestseller, and how you can be interviewed on radio and podcasts with great results. So that said, I was having a conversation with somebody today, and I thought it was worth repeating. This is something I really want to go back and watch myself. Apparently, Brené Brown was on 60 Minutes, and he'd never seen her before, right? So it's really great when someone new gets introduced to Brené Brown. And apparently she was talking about all the things she talks about and we know about. And so interesting, the interviewer had asked her, and of course this is hearsay, what my friend told me, but the interviewer had asked Brené Brown, "Oh, I see you've written this many books and I understand your books are self-help." And she said, "I really don't prefer that word. I really prefer the idea that we help each other." And my friend, he's a man, he started getting really choked up when he was saying this. And I was really appreciating his emotion around it, because I'm feeling the same. I'm watching people come together and help in ways that are really important. And I had a neighbor who stopped by and knows I have absolutely no wipes today. And she went out of her way to somebody else's house who picks up lots of things like that and gave me half. So I'm set. And I have somebody else who ran and got me a painter's mask at a time when all the things I ordered like that, the packages literally got shut down in transit because all the hospitals are needing them. So they're reappropriating. So I didn't do anything. This was the angel's hands taking care of me. I'm super grateful and I'm super receiving. Aside from Brené Brown saying something so beautiful, and I hope you're one of those receiving, giving at the same time, and I think it's a really important time how we showing up. I also think it's really interesting that my friend was saying, the one who's got all choked up about how spiritual this time feels and how interesting, and he's a very interesting person to be noticing things like that. And I said, yeah, I think it's like God said, I'm shutting it down, man. I've been trying to get your attention and you're not. You know, you're killing each other, you're killing the planet, you're killing your animals, you're over-consuming, and it's exhausting. And I want you to stop. And I've been asking you to connect with me for like a really long time, and here I am. And what more powerful way than to shut us all in inside our homes and say, okay, deal. Okay, deal. And I also want to be very empathetic and compassionate right now, because it is said that none of us are going to go unscathed through this time, that we're all going to know somebody. I already do. I already know somebody who died in New York. The story is so horrible. It's so horrible. His widow, who had to go, she's infected too, but not like him, left her apartment to claim his body at the hospital and had to be sent back to her apartment to be quarantined for the next week. So she's grieving all alone. It's unthinkable. So send her love as I say this, you know. Her name is Jan and she lives in New York, and just send her love. That's all everything's energy. And I know somebody else who got tested, two people, and I know because of their circumstances, they are probably infected. And so it's going to keep going. So it's really important this time how we show up. And I don't mean this out of fear. I mean it really like who we are, who we really are, our oversoul being. This is more important than ever, ever, ever before. So, okay. I'm going to start our show. So those of you who are interested on radio, on podcast, also on social media live all at the same time, and what a glorious time to be doing all of the above. So today's show with Debbie Dashinger, Dare to Dream on the podcast, I'm going to be featuring the business intuitive and the medical intuitive, my friend and colleague, Sherry Anshar. I'm so excited to introduce you to her. She's going to be taking your questions. We're also going to be having conversations, so chat below. I also ask you to subscribe to all of the Dare to Dream shows. youtube.com/Debbie Dashinger, and please leave a review. We're also on Apple Podcasts, as well as 40 different syndicated outlets. So we can really be found anywhere you like, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, BBS Radio, and more, Spreaker. Also, interested in writing a book or taking your book to bestseller or being coached on how to be exquisite on radio and podcast and get booked today for your interviews. What a great time to be doing all of the above. Media visibility could never be easier because it's all done from your home. Go to debbiedashinger.com, just spell my name correctly, and you'll get in, DebbiDashinger. Question, do you feel like you're going through struggle or is there smooth sailing? Is failure following you or success? Relationships, work, are you in flow? And are you playing small? An interesting question. Are you battling with yourself or your paradigm to be understood, to be seen, to be valued, to be heard? This is why we've got Sherry Anshar on the show. And I want to thank in advance Dr. Sherry, who wrote in. One of our listeners wrote in, Debbie is an influencer in her field. Her interviews with spirit-based leaders are full of powerful wisdom. Hearing their insights on life, contentment, happiness, and powerful processes provide valuable real-world instruction that you can apply immediately and see change. Thanks, Debbie, for the Dare to Dream podcast. Thank you, Dr. Sherry, different Sherry, by the way. So again, Dare to Dream, Debbie Dashinger, show's been nominated for two People's Choice Podcast Awards, subscribe to the show. Our rankings are very high in self-improvement in all of the USA on Apple Podcasts, as well as in several other countries. And we thank you so much for getting us there. This show is sponsored by Dr. Dane Heer, H-E-E-R, and accessconsciousness.com. So if you'd like to become a facilitator or take a class or read a book, they're all online. Do you want to heal today at the cellular level? Well, my guest, medical business intuitive Sherry Anshar, is an international best-selling author, professional speaker, former radio host of Conscious Healing, and contributing writer to national and international publications about the Anshar method of accelerated healing and abundance and wellness. Sherry utilizes her experience and expertise as a medical intuitive for the groundbreaking work she does with cellular memory. She can help you rid yourself of unwanted limitations, restrictions, negative thought patterns, and toxic behaviors at the cellular level. To learn more about her, SherryAnshar.com. And I welcome Sherry Anshar to the Dare to Dream show. Sherry, welcome. So great to have you.
Thank you. I am so delighted, thrilled, and honored to be here.
Yeah, this is so great. Finally. So we just were talking in your bio about Anshar method gets rid of old traumas, limitations, negative thoughts. I cannot think of a better time to have you here talking about this. So cellular waves are what we're referring to. How does that work? How do you access what's happening in somebody? And then how do you rearrange that so it's a healthy wave instead?
Well, your body is the intelligence and intellect. Your brain, they keep searching for intelligence in brains. It's not going to happen. And plus, we're only utilizing half the brain as a computer. But the body stores all of this fabulous cellular memory. But it gets memorized over by belief systems. Like, you're not good enough, Debbie, or you're not smart enough, or you can't do this, or, you know, program, which I call duality. But the cellular memory, it's as simple as that. If you cut yourself, whether you put an antibiotic or not, the body knows how to heal itself, correct? You don't have to sit around and wait. It just begins right away. So in this method that I created, all emotions are the foundation of every issue in your tissues. Because emotional, mental, physical, spiritual, financial, those five words mean the same thing. Is it your clear consciousness? Or is it based on a belief system in one of those paradigms within you that says you can't do it, or you don't have the intelligence, or you don't have the wherewithal, or you didn't come from the right family, or you didn't come from the right place? So all of that is memorization. But your body can access the core of the trauma within 10 minutes or less.
So core of trauma.
And the dramas
and the mamas. So what is that like for you? What is it that you see? That's what I'm curious about. What is it like to be you while this is happening?
Well, actually, I'm very grateful because as an intuitive medical, you know what? Intuition is so simple. It just means our natural innate ability to discern. That's all it means. You know, like trust your gut. So are we discerning that, you know, this is working for us or not? And that's based on feeling, not thinky, because how many times do we talk ourselves out of self? So as a medical intuitive, and even as a business intuitive, I have the ability to look into that person or that business and see where their structure got goofed up. I'll give you an example. I had a lady come to me and she had these tremendous headaches. Remember, trauma. And I said, you have the starting of a tumor and it is non-cancerous. It's in your right brain that goes to the female side. Your right brain goes to the female left side. So I said, somewhere you're being restricted. And then I met her husband. I'm not blaming her husband, but he was a control freak. And actually in two of the sessions, I had to throw him out. And so it took about 4 months before the technology picked it up. Mm. And guess what? It was a tumor in her right brain. And when she began to realize that she was holding herself back. Now we're not blaming him, because how you're treated is how we give people permission to treat us. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to resolve that. Did she have surgery? That's what she opted for. And it didn't do any damage. But that is how she processed her anger, her frustration, and being controlled. Somebody could create cancer, which is eating yourself up alive. Or somebody can create an addiction. And by the way, addictions, at the very emotional core of addictions, is desperation for attention.
Explain that one. Why is it desperation for attention?
So when there is an addict in the family, it doesn't matter what kind of addict it is, who gets all the attention?
That is so true. Because I have been in a relationship with an addict before and I know what that's like. And there is a definite narcissism to that where, they control all the attention.
And then the disabling enabler actually then goes into a victim program of all I've done for you. And then you keep doing it. And all that does is make the energy, which is physical, explode. Because energy, Deb, is actually a byproduct. It's either a byproduct of being conscious and healthy, or it's a byproduct of all these belief systems that I call duality, the BS programs. And so that is what happens. But at the emotional core of every addiction has to do with desperation for attention.
Hmm.
Wow, isn't that powerful?
And that's a wave then that people, this is healable, right? I mean, besides going to AA or another 12-step program, but this is doable. This is something that you can help to assuage so that people can actually heal from the addiction. Well, actually, the need for the attention is the real problem, and whatever's underneath that, is that what you access?
Absolutely. And when it started, mm-hmm. And I'll give you an example. I had a new client that was the number one kid for 7 years in the family. And then the second kid came along. So she had it all going on till she was seven. And then this kid came on who happened to be the boy, the son, the God, whatever. I'm kidding, but it wasn't that way. And then she had to start doing some kind of behavior to get everyone's attention. And that actually set up the firestorm, that wave, that particle wave based on addiction, and would do anything. And then what that would happen in her relationships with men. Now, this is not righting or wronging it, but that is really that recycle bin of duality, that sideways figure eight of infinity. It's just an infinity of, oops, I did it again. Oops, I did it again. And oops, I did it again.
That sounds like a song so, I know.
I know. It sounds like a song I know too. We all do. And so when you get to the core of the information, and fear is only lack of information. It's one of my cores. And one of the first steps I teach is NEO, non-emotional observer. Mm-hmm. So when you begin to observe yourself, it's not like, geez, I was stupid or I was wrong. You know, you were a kid and your brain's not developed till we're 25 or 26. So we do the best we can with what we have. And so when you're able to get to that place, oh my God, I've had people help people off of crystal meth. I assisted them really to get it, sex addiction. I said, you know, it's okay that you have sex, but if you're not having any fun at it, then it's no fun.
I wondered about that one. I wondered, what was the downside to that one?
not making having a connection. Mm. Because then it becomes wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, but there's no thank yous for it. So then it makes a difference. I mean, two of my clients wrote in a book I wrote, it's called The Intelligence Code. But there's two chapters in there called Quantum Sex, Quantum Relationships, of how I taught them to connect. And these are CEOs of their own companies. They're very successful and very nationally known. But what a difference it made for them in this relationship. So all the baggage that they bagged at an age, wordology is your biology, that they were able to dump it instead of keep hanging on and hanging on and repeating, and their conversations changed. So I always say when it gets into those, the towel should say his, hers, and next.
We are in the pandemic. I brought up some of that in the beginning with Brené Brown and saying, you know, it's time to become a community. Some of my points of view about, you know, it's a wink, wink, nudge, nudge about God is shutting down the, you know, the planet right now to say, hey, this is not going well. This is not going right. This is not going where it's supposed to go. And yet, do people have to get sick? Is there a worry to get sick? What is your contention in all of this? What is fated, not fated? And how would you respond to the concerns and the perception of the virus at this time?
Okay, I'll give it like a bigger picture and then we'll narrow it in, okay?
Sure.
So as a bigger picture, I look at this as sort of the in-between times. We're going from the old world to the new world. You know, we're going across the ocean. We're either on the Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria, or some boat, whatever. And some of us will fall off because we will hold on to these debilitating belief systems. The joy of it, and I've been talking about it in these in-between times, that we are now cocooned in our homes, whatever that is. So to me, that is the metaphor, but also the physicality of to begin to connect to our own self. So part of our issue is based on worth and value, that we're not worthy enough or we don't have value. But when we begin to connect to ourselves, as you call the source, God, that we connect to that heart, which is the most expanded resonance in our body. Not because I say so, because actually science has, you know, resonated. And the brain is like this little pea brain up here, and we're only using half of it. So this is an opportunity to go inside and make connections to our own self first. In this past week, I've talked to somebody I've known since the third grade. another person since I've known since the 12th grade. I have friends that are calling me, and sometimes I will call them, and if they don't answer, you know, one of the things I say, you don't have to call me back. I just would like to hear your voice. Mm. And they called me back and they said, you know what? It made a difference for them. So that is a connection, because we do, you know, Facebook and all this stuff, but that is a real connection, hearing the voice. And then we have the opportunity to go inside and start asking ourselves, and I've got clients and myself writing it down, what is really the worth of my life? What is really the value of my life and these connections and these people in my life? Does that make sense, Debbie?
You know, yes, very much so, because that's actually my experience. Everything from people and connection and how people are showing up. I've always been someone who's have a sense of how finite life can be. And so I've always been someone who expresses to people, you know, if I love you. I have had, as you know, a recent breakup with somebody, and I'm really contending with, I think I need to complete with this person. I really do. I need to have everything said. And this is the most amazing time to do that. And I understand as far as people we knew, but it even feels like it's extending out to people we haven't known that well, how we're showing up.
Yes. I actually had a gal call me on Sunday that saw some of my postings, and she lives here in Scottsdale. And we talked, and she said, I have to meet you. She said, you have been inspiring me, because I don't know what she said, because of the way that you're explaining this. Mm-hmm. And so in making these connections, look what your neighbor did for you. But this is the change. So we've been taught to do, and I'm going to change this, that we've been taught to do something to or for someone, or they do it to or for us. But in this paradigm shift, we can start doing it with each other.
Which is so wonderful. It's so wonderful. We've all been so separated. We've been separated from God's source universe. We've been separated from each other. We've been separated from ourselves.
Yes. And that is the point of it, is that we don't have to do this separation anymore, that in that connection. Mm. And we've been taught to be fearful of ourselves. We've been taught to be afraid of our own power. I mean, I wrote a book. I put a plug here called Take Back Your Power, You Becoming You. It's really a manual on how to do it, because I love sharing with people that if you do this, this will happen. If you don't, it won't happen. It's okay. But we've been taught to self-judge ourselves, that, you know, that we don't have the good enough, whatever it is. So this, to me, is a time to connect with people. Oh. And I'll give you...
I love that. I have something to add there. I also, when I'm listening to your list, besides judgment and criticize and sabotage, we also sacrifice ourselves, right? Yeah. There's a lot of us out there who have learned, for whatever wound we grew up with, I think I just show up here and keep giving and enabling and giving and giving until I'm empty, and then I'm going to resent the F out of you, right? And I think it's really interesting also, paradigm shift, no more sacrifice. It's doing a with. It's not codependence or independence, it's interdependence.
Yes, and Covey coined that years ago. So that's why I love it. And I teach wordology as your biology. So I love that withness. Now, I'll give you an example. I was at the bank. This is what you have to do. And you can't go in. You have to do the drive-through. And it was like 30 minutes. So while I was in that line, when I got up, there were three people. And you could tell they were like exhausted, you know, because people were crabby and all. So I got up and I said, you know what? Just thank you so much for being here. You guys are on the front line. You should have seen their faces light up and thanked me profusely. That is what we've got to begin to do, is use our language, whatever it is, in a more productive way, to have those with connections. But it has to come from the heart. It's the only place to start, because all that matters, which is physical matter, is what matters from the heart.
Love it. And
so to me, these are opportunities to make connections. Even the stuff that I've been posting on Facebook, because I understand about energy. And energy is physical. I've cleared properties and, you know, homes and buildings all over this country, either there or whatever. But when we are spewing from our bodies into a room, I'm stuck. I hate it. Why do I have to rah, rah? that energy, which is thick, snotty, gelatinous, goopy, sticky, icky, is actually embedded in your walls. It's embedded in your furniture. You know what? I'm still seeing clients, and they're very safe. And a couple of them said, I love coming here because I feel safe and I feel secure, or even when we're working on the phone. But the point of it is, what I'm sending out to them is just support and listening. And this is another opportunity that we stop hearing through these computer brain ears, because when we do that, we filter from our programming in the past. But when you begin to listen.
Let's take this deeper, Sherry, because we have people writing in who want to interact with you.
Yes.
And I'm thank you guys for sending your questions. I'm so happy that you're doing it, because what an auspicious time to connect with somebody like this. And P.S., I'm just saying, as a metaphysician, don't you know, that this is another reason spiritually I'm very clear this is happening, because people like Sherry and other magnificent, brilliantly gifted people that I hang with on a regular basis, guess what? No more being buried under middle America or question. Now is the time more than ever that people are turning to them, because, you know, as light workers, we're here. It's finally our time. So Sherry, here's the first question. This is from Amy. I'm just going to give the first name. Amy says, my question is, Sherry, is my hip pain related to something blocking my forward movement in my life's work and financial growth? That's Amy's question.
Absolutely. And I'd like her to tell me which hip. Is it left or right? And then we'll go in a deeper dive.
Okay. Amy, I'm going to need you to write. And
I'll do the general of it. Okay. I'll do the general of it. The hips are actually in the old seven chakra system, because I teach 13, is the creative chakra. And it's how we create. The female side creates and the male side manifestus, manufacturing, manipulates. It's not gender. And so when we have hip issues, that's our creative chakra. But if you look at the first chakra, that's the pubic bone and the tailbone. When we're holding on to belief systems that says you can't do this, or you're not qualified, whatever qualification is, you can't do that. That energy, now the movement, you talked about the movement, will move up to the second chakra and we will get shut down. That's why people are able to create something, but they're not able to manifest it or actualize it in
cool.
the world.
And Amy writes in, it is the right hip that is giving her
And that is the manifesting side. Somewhere she's blocked in there. And see, I work in the unconscious. The subconscious is the, your body's like a house. So the subconscious would be like your attic, your garage, your closet. You know you have to clean it out and it's there. But where I work is in the unconscious, how it got programmed. So that right hip has to do in the creative process of not being able to take the step into manifesting it. And then the next step is to actualize it.
How can there she get through this? How can she assuage this pain, this blockage, if you will, for her life's work, for her finances, and make it an easy way for her to move forward instead? What would have to happen?
Okay, then she'd have to recognize when it starts. Now, I don't know, I just know her name, but what's intuitive to me is this really began at 7 years old for her, second grade. So it could be someone in her family that was an authority figure that said, you know, like the boy can do it, but you can't do it. Now, this is what I'm intuiting, and usually it happens. So when you, and this isn't without judgment. And so there is a fear. So this is what fear does, lack of information. That's all fear is. It's not false evidence appearing real. But in that fear, we will validate the invalidation of ourselves to validate the authority figure outside of us that said you can't do it. So we will validate them. And so I'll give you an example. I work with this client, and her dad for 30 years, he hated his job. He hated his job. And he would tell everybody, I hate my job. And he would tell her, don't do it. Well, she ended up working for a company in an area for 35 years and hated it. And when we got to the core, she was actually validating her dad by invalidating herself. And when she figured that out, she was out of that job like this, completely out of it, and began to develop a different relationship with her father. Hmm. And this was all going on unconscious. And that's what we've been taught to do. I have a saying, I am the only one that can validate me. And for those outside of me who validate me, I thank them. Whoever they are, doesn't matter. And for those that don't, oh well. So that's how it's going on.
Self-sustaining and self-validation. Well, I'm hoping, Amy, that that helped. And you know, if you pick up anything else for her, we'll go back to that. I'm going to take a very quick break here. We'll be back in just a minute. We have other questions for Sherry. This is Debbie Dashinger on Dare to Dream. And if you would like to write a chapter in an anthology book, I'm producing a book called Dogs Are Paradise. It's positively fantastic. Go to debbied.net/anthology. It's debbied.net/anthology. You can be a published author and not have to write an entire book. I am having everything done for the authors, the editing, the formatting, the book cover, the launch to international bestseller, the publishing, the print book, and the ebook. How does it get any better than that? So if you have a story to tell about a dog, canine, vet, service dog, you've been a dog, whatever the story is, we vet each other and I make sure you're a great fit for the project. Go to debbied.net because if you have a tale or a tale to tell, we'd love to have you aboard. And Amy says, thank you. Awesome. Great to hear. If you're just tuned in, it's so funny how my mouth is so much faster than my brain or vice versa. So I'm trying to catch and think everything up. This is Debbie Dashinger, Dare to Dream, award-winning podcast. Great to have you. I'm speaking with Sherry Anshara. She developed the Quantum Pathic Energy Method. She's a medical intuitive and gets to the core of your issues, but she also can help you as a business intuitive for a solution. You can find out more about her at sherryanshara.com. And I want to go back up to the next question that we have. And thanks for joining. And folks, if she's saying something that's helping and she's addressing your question, just type in below. I'm doing my best gorilla job here to keep with Sherry. Well, I've been doing this a long time, so it's not that hard for me, but with Sherry, but also with you at the same time. So we've got a question right now, Sherry. The name is Siddiqui. I'm going to spell it for you in case it makes an energetic difference for someone who does words. It's S as in Sam, I-D-D-I-Q-I. Siddiqui. Siddiqui Ray says, my question is, my migraines, what else can I do to treat them? What is the underlying cause? Thank you.
Okay, and migraines, if you look at the word, it's migraine, the irritation. Migraines start in that first chakra of the pubic bone and the tailbone. So what I'm feeling about your migraine is when you get overstressed and energy is physical. It's physical. It's thick, snotty, gelatinous, goopy, sticky, icky. But that you are holding on in that migraine of you. And actually, I feel that this started in the womb with you, that you are missing something, that you did not have the full potential to create your life the way you do it. And so that is like a headbutt. You know what I mean? Mm. So this is the crown and this is the base chakra. And so I was at a luncheon once and they said, in 9 seconds, tell us what you do. And I said, well, I assist people to take their head out of their assets that aren't working. And so that is what I see is the migraine. And I feel that you are like your shoulders are real heavy of taking on responsibility. If someone's happy, it's your fault. Siddiqui, if they're miserable or happy, it's your fault. You cannot be responsible for them. It's called responsible. So it's being responsive. And so you've taken on too much. That physical energy bottles up. It comes all the way up your spinal column, hits your shoulders, and it goes into your head and it swells. The physical molecules of emotions are thick, snotty, gelatinous, goopy, sticky. So they get embedded in your brain cells, which are fat cells that hold toxins. And then it swells up against the cranium and then pushes on your on all the tissue around your head, the scalp. And that is the basis of this physical, emotional issue in your first chakra. That's your migraines. And it doesn't matter how much drugs you take, it's not going to get to the core of this that I feel started in the womb with you, with your parents not judging them. That's
with,
pretty
huge. That, with your parents, period, I'm not judging them, period?
Yeah, because you can't. But it could be the dynamics of the of their belief systems, the BS. And I feel that this person is fighting against themselves. Like, you know, people say, I'm hitting my head against the wall. I keep hitting my, I stop, it feels good, but then I hit myself again. And that is metaphorically, but that's what I feel, that you are just hitting your head against a cement block wall.
Well, the next part of her question, Sherry, is what else can I do to treat them? This is somebody who does long meditation and has a spiritual practice and has tried different doctor type methodologies and anyway, still plagued with these migraines. What can she do? Forget about treating them. I'm going to take that question deeper. What can she do to resolve this?
Okay. In order to have a solution, you have to have a resolution. And because of the wonderful, you know, work or facilitation that she does, again, she's taking on responsibility. If someone gets better, it's her fault. If they don't, it's her fault. Hmm. She is, even though you meditate, it's wonderful, but you're still not getting to the core issues of this. This is very much a self-judgment, becoming Neo, non-emotional observer, and beginning to observe, what is my behavior? You cannot be responsible for someone. You can't make anybody happy or miserable. You can support them in either one or not. So it's being responsive, but you've got to be, respond to yourself first. And that's why it's a recycle bin. That size, weight, figure eight of infinity. Oops, I did it again, and then again. And then we have a respite. The respite is when it stops, and then we go back into that recycle bin of all of this self-judgment of hers. That she's competing with herself.
Mm. Okay. I hope that was helpful, Siddiqui. Thank you for your question. That's awesome. I'm going to ask a generic question for people, Sherry. Let's see, what do I want to like tap into? Yeah, what the heck? Why do people sabotage themselves? This is a great time for people to like look at the man in the mirror, look at the woo man in the mirror. Why do we sabotage ourselves? What is going on there that would even make us want to do that, even unconsciously?
Because when we sabotage, we're actually validating the invalidation of ourselves. We are giving our power. See, we've been taught, we've mixed it up on this planet. Force is left brain, right, like force. I'm going to force you to do this. I'm going to force you. But that's not power. So when people do that, they're actually giving their power away and they're attempting to convince somebody else. And no one can be convinced. So then it is a recycle of that sabotage. Okay? How about this is going so great. Now, this is unconscious and sometimes subconscious. This relationship, this experience, this business, whatever it is going to so great. But, butt head, first chakra of duality, when is the axe going to fall? And then we create the axe. It's called sabotage. And then we are in here it goes again. Here it comes. Or I thought that person was somebody else. So one of the things that I teach also is profiles, behaviors, and roles. We have to know our own profile so we don't attract in the law of distraction an experience, a business, a person to re-sabotage ourselves over and over and over again.
Can you explain that? Because that I feel like I like that the what you're saying because it feels like an FBI profile, which I always found very interesting. I'd like to be profiled.
I should have been a profile. That's what my friends said that are in the law enforcement.
What is that? What is a profile? How do we profile ourselves? How do we, like, I feel like I'm intimate with myself. I think I am. But, like, what does that even mean?
Okay, so I take people out of thinking into feeling. So here, there's a famous actress out there. I'm not going to name her, what her name
is. But her initials are.
But her initials are E.T. And she was married to the same man.
Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah, they were all alcoholic abusers. All of them. It didn't matter what they did, you know, and Richard got us, you know, twice. My favorite husband of hers was Larry Fortinsky. She met him at Betty Ford. Only cost her $5 million. That wasn't even enough for one of her settings. Got it? But four of her besties were gay. And they were all drug addicts, alcoholics. If you look back in their life, one even killed themselves from it. And so then her son, from what I understand in research, married a billionaire granddaughter and she overdosed. So that is a profile. We recognize the behavior. I use myself a lot of times as an example. I married a man that was my mom. He was so wanty needy. And like my mom, she was wonderful, but she was fabulous wanty needy. Oh my God, I can't say wanty needy. But I thought I was getting my brothers. This is not incestuous, but they were a lot older than me and they were very dynamic businessmen and entrepreneurs. This man was brilliant and their age and he had not one entrepreneurial cell in his entire body. So I became the husband. I became the entrepreneur. So I knew that behavior of my mother that, you know, I was always trying and trying, but just trying in her wanty needy to fix her. That's the fixer. So that's a role. And so I don't do wanty needy anymore. And it changes the vocabulary. I don't want or need anything, but it's what I require, which is action and desire and deserve. Because deserve means to serve yourself first. When the plane's going down, take the oxygen. But when we're in that wanty needy, that's a profile behavior and role. And if you start looking at some of the people in your life, this isn't judging. Why do I love them? Why do I like them? And that's deeper. Like is much deeper than love. And why don't I like them? So there's actually a gal that lives here in the Valley. Debbie, she drives me crazy. I do not like this woman at all in the like mode. But every time I see her, I go, she is such a blessing. Because I know that something in her is triggering me and it's all about me, not her. And so every time I see her, I'm like so thrilled to see her. Now, doesn't that make more? Because I know that she is a profile that's got to be stuck in me somewhere. Now, when I see her, I'm just happy. I don't have that. But before, I had a reaction, act one, scene two. But now I have a response.
So, Sherry, you've profiled yourself, right? And you realized, okay, I'm the guys I'm ending up with not working for me. I'm marrying mom with a penis. That's great. But I've already done wanty needy. So you go to desire, which is serving yourself first. So you have all these no beautiful words, but I'm wondering what is the bridge that got you there? I mean, is it just languaging?
Languaging, recognizing my own behavioral patterns by becoming Neil. That's quantum physics in action. You know, you plant a seed, you just put it in the ground and you watch it and some green sprout will come up. It can be a tree, it can be anything. It can be a tomato plant. But no, Neil,
sorry, go ahead.
No, it's just observing and not getting emotional, the non-emotional, because when we get emotional, we're stuck in the past.
You and know what? You just said something, I got to stop there. That was so big and I really needed to hear that. So I just want to reiterate what you said was the non-attachment, because that was what I'm after here is let the why. You know, I am a major mofo manifester, major. But I also have this column here where like it's more efforting, right? Not as much manifester. And so I've always wondered like, what? Like I live in this realm where a lot of people sit back and go, how are you doing that? It's like, right? Scooby-Doo. But you just told me something. So it happened again today. And I shared with you before we got on, I have someplace to go. I'm going to tell you right now, my best friend is pissed off at me that I'm going. She gave me such a hard time. I had to freaking meditate because she had her, I was feeling her anxiety as an empath about me going where I'm going at a time like this, but I'm clear. I'm going with God and the angels. I know what I'm doing, and I'm doing a lot of due diligence. However, I also know I need to protect myself. Couldn't find a face mask. They're completely sold out. They've all been diverted to the hospitals. Cannot find disinfectant. Same. I could go on with the list, but then this takes it to another level. But I couldn't buy into her fear. I am clear, right? When my emotional wave says, use Goinger. So I'm going. But I was non-attached. And as you know, a neighbor knocked on my door and she went to someone else's house and brought me Clorox disinfectants. Someone who's in my life called me. This was all unexpected, unplanned. I didn't ask. He called me out of nowhere and said, oh, I found a painter's mask, a brand new painter's mask that I asked someone for you. Like, people are giving me and contributing. Why? Zero attachment, right?
Yes, zero attachment. And now you're being with yourself so they can be with you. That's what support is.
Cella luna mezzo mare. That's what I'm talking
about. Absolutely. Isn't this just the best freaking thing ever?
Freaking thing. Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay.
This is huge. This is huge. This is big.
Huge. Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We have another question. We come back and we will get to that. Thank you for your patience, your passione right now. And I hope you're getting something a lot out of this conversation, because frankly, it's for you. It's for me. It's for all of us at a really amazing time. We have such a beautiful person showing up, Sherry Anshar, and I'm already so grateful for this conversation. Folks, I'm Debbie Dashinger. I'm a media visibility shaman, and I help clients to express their unique roar. I just wrote that today. I love that. I'm going to say it again. I help you express your unique roar. I identify so much with lions. I have a Leo ascending, so that makes so much sense. I am a certified coach. I offer groups as well as individual sessions. I help you write a page-turner book. I have a company that guarantees your book goes to international bestseller, and I show you how to be interviewed on radio and podcasts and get results and get booked today. This, folks, is a time when you're locked inside and you're not sure how to get yourself visibly out. Books, bestsellers, interviews, ta-da. This is your time. I am telling you, capitalize. Go to debbiedashinger.com. I am happy to help you. And if you would like to write a chapter in an anthology book, go to debbied.net/anthology. And you can write a chapter about a dog or a puppy. Welcome back. I am speaking with Sherry Anshara. She's at sherryanshara.com. And she is a medical and business intuitive. And bringing back the beautiful Sherry. Sherry, we've got a question. And this one is from Corinne. I'm going to spell her name. I don't know if this means anything, but I like spellings. C-O-R-I-N, Corinne. She says, my question is, what should be my focus for the next phase of my business? So this is a business intuitive question. What should be the focus for the next phase of Corinne's business? I feel discombobulated like so many entrepreneurs right now. Any insights or clarity would be awesome and helpful.
Okay, this is what I'll say. First, you have to stay in the moment. Stop projecting into a future that hasn't been created yet. And this is what I teach to business people. So let's say you set an objective by November 12th. I'm just making this up. By November 12th, this is what my goal, my accomplishment, my vision is, my dream to make it real. So we already know we have set a date. Now stay in the moment, because here is how it works when we throw our energy in the future. So tomorrow morning from 9 to noon, I'm going to sleep in. I'm going to work with clients. I'm going to go to a movie. I'm going to watch a movie. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to have breakfast. I'm going to meet some friends. I'm going to make phone calls. How many futures did I just create for tomorrow morning from 9 to noon? It hasn't happened yet. 9 to noon has not
happened yet.
I do have a vision. So I teach people in business as an entrepreneur. I've been that all my life. Even in the corporate world, I was an entrepreneur. So we've got to stay in the moment, stay out of the outcome, so the income or the results come in that you create.
Say that again. It was good. Say it.
This is big. Stay out of the outcome so the income and the results can be achieved. When we are always in the outcome, we're taking our body, which is here, wherever you are in the world, and you're projecting into a future that hasn't happened. So this is an example. No one knew that we would have this coronavirus and we'd all be stuck in, right? Nobody, that you couldn't go out or do anything, whatever. So when you are not in an anxiety about our business, anxiety, the core emotional, is unrealistic expectations. So if we're in unrealistic expectations that it's November 15th or whatever it is, and we're not in the moment, then we can't move to that time frame and do what we require to do every day to make it happen. We are grounded. Then we are on purpose with our purposes, because you have many, but you get grounded and you're not floating around and your head doesn't explode. You are actually utilizing your whole intelligence and intellect in your body. Your body is like a business plan. It knows what to do. The business plan. You eat something, it knows to take the nutrients and dump the rest. So what you've got to do is dump all that stuff that doesn't make sense to you. Stay in the moment, stay out of the outcome so the income results happen. So you have a projection, and that's good, because it might happen November 10th instead of November 16th. But in the moment, you start doing your strategic plan. It's the same when I'm assisting people to heal themselves. That we have, this is the best one. Write this down. All of you, write this down. Write down the word time, T-I-M-E.
Okay.
And what does it spell? Time-me. This is time-me. I've got too much time, too little time, time's running out. Where did the time go? That's bullshit. I'm saying it like it is. Write this down, everybody. Time is an increment of space. This is a space-time continuum. Debbie, you and I and everybody were in this space. So time is an increment of space in which to have an experience. So when you know that you're in that increment, so like I knew today that we would be talking at 3 o'clock. I was delighted. I was excited. But when I was working with clients today, or I was on a conference call or whatever I was doing, though I knew that at 3 o'clock or November 12th that you and I would have this wonderful chat, but I was actually in my increments each step of the way so that I wasn't, so I would be fully present and grounded in what I was doing in the moment. So that when we talked, I did not over expel energy and bring my energy. Because people say, how come you, yes, I get tired. Of course I do. But I'm not overextending because I'm in the moment. So time is an increment of space. So if you're an entrepreneur, it's okay to make your projections, but now you've got to do in this increment, what will I do to make this next increment of space and this have it come together? It's got to make sense.
Let me ask another question. I just feel it like for Corinne. So, you know, I'm a clairsentient, the claircognizant. So when I'm jamming on this one, it was a beautiful answer and she's definitely responding. Thank you. She's getting so much out of it, being in the moment, letting go of the outcome, all of that. So on her behalf, I want to ask what she is doing right now, business-wise. Like I could feel her crossroads even here.
Yes.
Is this what she is? Forget the word meant. Nothing is meant. We're a free choice. But her soul is here for great purpose and obviously very gifted like all of us. Is she on the path right now doing what is hers to do? Or is she truly at a crossroads where it's time to make a left or a right? If so, can you give us a little intuitive
advice there? Yes. Okay. So see my fingers? That's the fork in the road. If we stay in that if we stay in that paradigm, we're going to get forked again. Got it? But if we're willing to go off into another direction and not be so closed about what it is that how it's supposed to happen. Does that make sense?
Say
because
more.
Then you're clear. Okay.
Because now I'm feeling it here in my space too.
Yes, because if we keep doing the same thing over and over again that doesn't work, so we get afraid of change. Change is growth. Change is experience. So I had this lady come to me. You're going to love this. So she's this corporate woman, dynamic, and she walks in and she looks at me and she says, I never changed. So I'm going like, what the hell are you doing here? You know, because I came highly recommended. Recommended for what? So I looked at her and I said, so let me get this straight. You have always been this way. Yes. So I said, okay, then, my dear, I'm much more impressed with your mother's vajayjay. Because if you came out with that high heels, that suit, and that hairstyle, your mother's vajayjay rocks. So you're somewhere between the diapers and the pins. Underwear, do you think you haven't changed? Isn't that the best? And her arms came, and she burst out laughing. She goes, that was stupid. I said, I know, it was fabulously stupid. So then she was able to connect to herself because this was a defense mechanism. And so sometimes we try and try and try to convince ourselves about something when it's not working. It can be a relationship. We will attempt to convince ourselves through the computer brain that we have to struggle and that it has to be hard. And if it isn't hard, there's no value. Crap. I can only think of one thing that's hard that's good. Do you know what I mean?
Now, this is my conversation, girl. Okay.
I don't want to make anything else hard. It's too ridiculous. And you brought up soul and spirit. The reason we have our bodies, physical, is so our soul and spirit can experience this dimension in the way we do. But you have to make a choice instead of a decision. Hers was, I'm deciding, I'm like this. But the choice was, and when I said that about her mother's vajayjay, I'm not kidding you, she just burst out laughing. So we are somewhere between diapers and depends. So underwear, we change. A change is growth. It's not pain. So here, as an intuitive, pain in the body is the body's attempt to get our attention. If it's in the hip, it has to do with the creative chakra. If it's in the shoulders, it's too much responsibility. If it's in the throat, it's because we can't speak our truth. If it's in our jaws, it's our hips because we can't speak our truth. So pain in the body is the body or the head. So I get this picture. If your head is buried up your first chakra, that is very painful. And you're not standing straight.
No, you're not. You're rather looped. Okay, so I hear your message for Corinne then is, you know, change. Don't be so ensconced in what was. Be open and fluid to what is and is coming. And to have faith, some trust, you know, that all is coming and being revealed.
It is here. And I look at that. It's already complete. I'm just going through the actions to bring it into fruition, to bring it into physical.
Oh, I like that.
Isn't it? I already see that complete. When I first started writing my first book, I didn't know shit about writing a book. I don't even know if I even know now. But I had a 286 computer. Well, this is a 286. I know. And so I didn't know, but I just knew I had to get it out, whatever it was. And nobody, not even Louise Hay, would publish my books. And this is way back when, because there was no category for consciousness. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about consciousness. They would pat me on the head, you know, take a pill or whatever. But you have to, Debbie, or this gal's name, I forgot her name. Corinne, you have to trust your own guidance, which is your heart. Trust it.
To contact the award-winning syndicated Dare to Dream radio show, go to debbiedashinger.com. Keep your excellent feedback and comments coming. Your host, Debbie Dashinger, is an expert at goal achievement, a media personality, an international best-selling author, and a keynote speaker. Debbie leads high-quality teleseminars on how to achieve goals, how to be a self-published best-selling author, and how to get booked on radio. All classes are at debbiedashinger.com. Debbie's best-selling books are Dare to Dream, This Life Counts, sold on Amazon, and her second book, Wisdom to Success, The Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams, sold online at all bookstores. Tune in again to hear the next inspiring interview guest who has turned their vision into a successful reality. Want more support in making your dreams come true? Go to debbiedashinger.com. That's www.debbiedashinger.com. You'll see videos, MP3s, archived interviews, and amazing products, sharing the secret steps to making your dreams come true. Remember to dream big with every expectation that your dream will become real. Dreams are free, so free your dreams. What do you dare to dream?
Here I'm standing